This deep dive is provided by Thomas Allgaier and Frenis, based on the most relevant LinkedIn posts about artificial intelligence in calendar weeks 35 and 36. Frenis supports enterprises with market and competitive intelligence, decoding emerging technologies, customer insights, regulatory shifts, and competitor strategies. So product teams and strategy leaders don't just react, but shape the future of AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Look, if you've been on LinkedIn lately, you know it's just awash with AI content, an absolute flood.
Oh, completely overwhelming, yeah.
So our mission today is really to cut through all that noise for you.
Absolutely. Think of us as, well, your curators. We've sifted through everything from calendar weeks 35 and 36 to find the really key top artificial intelligence trends seen across LinkedIn.
But distilling it down for you, especially if you're in the ICT and tech industry, giving you those crucial insights.
Exactly. We want to help you stay ahead of the curve.
We'll be touching on, you know, big strategic shifts, what these AI agents actually are, the whole governance piece, market feelings, all of it.
It's about helping you shape what's next, not just, you know, react to it.
Okay, let's kick things off with theme one, strategy and operating models. Mm. How companies are really having to rethink things at a core level because of AI.
Yeah, it feels like we're past the purely theoretical stage now.
Definitely.
Thank
it's
you.
Getting practical and sometimes painful, right?
Precisely. And Daniel Paul had a great point on this. He said, more frameworks won't save your agent. A clear roadmap will.
That rings true.
It does, because so many companies, they stumble, they don't know where to start, they jump between things.
And it just leads to chaos.
Total chaos. And then they give up. So that clear strategic approach, it's just non-negotiable now.
Absolutely. And, you know, Elena Keck shared this, frankly, staggering statistic from MIT.
Oh, yeah.
95% of generative AI projects failing to drive revenue. 95%.
Oh, huge.
And often it's because they lead with the tech, the shiny object, not with a real solid business problem.
You have to ask, what are we actually solving here first?
Exactly.
Which, you know, connects to what Chris Kimmerle is saying about finding your North Star before you even think about AI governance policies.
Right. You need that strategic alignment first. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the policies are just floating, disconnected.
Precisely.
And it's changing leadership too, isn't it? Matthew A. Matson had this interesting idea, moving from managing people to orchestrating AI systems.
Orchestrating, I like that.
Yeah, it's not about micromanaging the AI's choices, but designing the system itself.
Mm.
You know, with ethics, autonomy, intent built right in.
It's a fundamental shift in what leadership looks like. And Jens Bucking talked about these frontier firms.
Ah, yes, the frontier firms.
Yeah, structured around on-demand intelligence, human AI teams working together, super agile. He argues this isn't just a nice to have anymore.
It's becoming a survival imperative.
That's the phrase he used, survival imperative.
So pulling that all together, the big takeaway for leaders, it seems like it's disciplined investment, really tracking the value, and, well, fundamentally rethinking how work gets done.
Yep. Caution against the hype, focus on the value.
Okay, now, let's get into AI agents. This is where it gets really interesting, I think. Feels like a major leap.
Oh, absolutely. This is way beyond just simple automation. Richard Lefebvre defined agentic AI really well.
How do you put it?
As systems that can autonomously execute workflows, crucially, correct their own errors and adapt strategies. He said they act more like a colleague than a calculator.
A colleague, not a calculator. I like that framing.
Yeah. And he gave those great examples, you know, the evolution from Wally, the tireless steward, to R2-D2, the problem solver, and then to Jarvis, the sort of strategic augmenter. It shows that path towards intelligence that really enhances what we can do.
Makes it very tangible. And these aren't just sci-fi concepts now. Alex Iskova claimed businesses using these agents, growing twice as fast.
Two times faster, wow.
Yeah, citing examples like lead gen agents, sales outreach, content creation, even competitive intelligence. And they can be built relatively quickly, in weeks, apparently.
So real business value right now.
Exactly. And Jake Jones added another layer, talking about how agents tackle operational friction.
Operational friction, the work between the work, right?
That's it. Triaging requests, gathering info. All that messy stuff that bogs teams down, not just automating single tasks, but smoothing the whole flow.
Reducing the chaos. That's huge.
But we need some caution here, too.
Right? Sure.
Michael Short pointed out the term AI agent implies agency responsibility.
Yeah, which current tools don't really have. Human accountability is still absolutely central. We can't forget that.
Good point. And Blake Oliver made a useful distinction between like linear AI workflows and true AI agents that have goals and autonomy.
Right, but he also mentioned their limits, like terrible memories, context window issues. They're powerful, but not magic.
Still limitations to work around.
For sure.
So this all points towards a pretty massive shift in how we work. Gustavo Valbuena called it the agentic era.
The agentic era. Makes sense.
And Alana Brickner said, HR needs to start planning now. How do you onboard, manage, integrate AI agents into the workforce?
Yeah, it's like hiring a whole new type of team member almost. Fascinating implications for HR.
Okay, let's pivot slightly. How is all this AI actually showing up in new products, new platforms?
Yeah.
Changing how we interact with tech day to day.
Well, one interesting thing was Dan Williams breaking down Databricks Agent Bricks.
Agent Bricks, okay.
Yeah, the promise is you point it at your documents and boom, you get a working AI agent. Pretty cool. But he noted you need the right setup.
Ah, the catch.
Always a catch. Needs their Unity catalog, that data governance piece, and serverless compute. So specific requirements.
Got it. And on the creative side, I saw Preeti Hegde's deep dive on Google's Nano Banana. Sounds funny, but looks powerful.
Nano Banana? Tell me more.
It's an image editing model, does things like identity preservation, prompt-to-pixel pipeline. It really seems like the future for creative work, making complex editing much more intuitive.
Very cool.
And Ellie Gabareffa had some good advice too, saying, great AI content isn't magic. It's about high-quality training data, good references, getting beyond just generic stuff.
Quality in, quality out. Still applies.
Absolutely.
And speaking of interaction changes, Robert Stupak had this pretty provocative take on search.
Oh, yeah.
He sees us moving from SEO, you know, search engine optimization, to GEO, generative engine optimization.
Could be, okay.
And shifting from browsing websites to agentic commerce. He even floated the idea that AI overviews in chat could mean, well, the end of websites.
Whoa. The end of websites. That is bold.
It's a big thought, right? Changes how we access everything online.
Definitely food for thought. And more practically, Martin Crowley had a guide on picking AI video tools like Google VO2, Sora, Runway.
Yeah, based on quality, speed, what you need it for. Okay. His point was, don't just stick to one.
Makes sense. And Rochelle Schmerzel talked about using R retrieval augmented generation.
Ah, REG, combining generative AI with real-time data.
Exactly. For virtual agents and contact centers. Yeah. Making them way more accurate by pulling in live business info.
Super useful application.
Okay, let's zoom out a bit now. Look at the bigger picture.
Yeah.
The partnerships, the ecosystem moves, what's happening regionally.
Yeah, there are some significant moves there. Mark Calder had reported on Broadcom partnering with OpenAI.
To design AI accelerator chips, right?
Exactly. That's a big deal. Puts them right in the ring with NVIDIA, basically. Shows hardware is becoming this co-developed thing.
Interesting. And in fintech.
Oh.
Seemed like a lot going on.
Oh, yeah. Lena Spiliunas and Simon Taylor flagged a bunch of stuff. AI-powered digital banks like Right Bank, Nubank expanding, Gemini's new XRP card.
And Visa dropping its agentic commerce APIs, which was notable.
Right. Shows how fast things are moving and shifting in finance tech.
Definitely.
And connecting that globally, Dr. Stefan Sambal highlighted what's happening in Europe, specifically the IPAI project in Germany.
The Dieter Schwartz Foundation thing.
That's the one, in Heilbronn, being called Europe's most ambitious applied AI project. Really trying to bridge research and actual application.
Plus, they just launched Jupiter, right? Europe's fastest supercomputer.
Yep. So a real push for, you know, European AI capability and maybe sovereignty.
And it's not just business and research. AI is expanding into defense, too. Yuri Jeksinev mentioned a Finnish company, Kelu.
With the autonomous hydrogen airship. Yeah, participating in a NATO exercise.
Shows AI's reach. And Borger pointed to the Smart AI 2025 event, focusing purely on industrial AI, cognitive robotics, smart manufacturing.
So the ecosystem is really branching out everywhere, every sector.
So, okay, let's bring it back down to earth.
Right.
What does this all mean for day-to-day operations? Let's dive into some real-world adoption examples, use cases.
Yeah, good idea. Sri Elaprolu shared a fantastic AI for good example from Buenos Aires.
Boti, their city assistant.
Exactly. Using agentic AI LangGraph, Amazon Bedrock, to handle millions of citizen conversations a month. Accurate, culturally relevant responses. Really impressive stuff.
That is impactful.
Oh.
And maybe closer to home for some listeners, Varun Rana noted the New York subway is adopting agentic AI.
For efficiency, yeah. He had that funny line.
MTA, but the A stands for agentic.
Yeah.
It shows even, you know, traditional public infrastructure is getting on board.
Definitely. And in banking, Vidya Vargavan wrote about using AI for frictionless, personalized services. She mentioned a FAST framework.
Frictionless, adaptive, secure, transparent.
That's it. Moving towards proactive guidance, not just transactions.
And healthcare. Wow, lots happening there.
Seems like it.
Dr. Joachim H. shared how InfectoPharm built generative AI in-house, proving pharma can do it themselves. Robert Pearl highlighted how AI tools are empowering patients, changing that doctor-patient dynamic.
Making it more collaborative.
Yeah. And Jan Baker had this really counterintuitive finding. Healthcare workers who embrace the paradoxes around AI, they actually adopt it more and are happier with it.
Interesting psychological angle there.
Isn't it? And maybe the biggest news. Ravichandran Subbiah reported Russia starting human trials for an AI-made cancer vaccine.
A cancer vaccine designed by AI. That's potentially revolutionary.
It's truly groundbreaking if it pans out.
And let's not forget HR. Samir Panakkalapati's podcast was asking big questions. How will agents change recruitment? Rejecting candidates? Predicting quits? What is the recruiter of 2030?
Yeah, HR seems ripe for this agentic shift.
Definitely.
But despite all these amazing examples, Martinez Nikolajevas threw a bit of cold water on things. He's skeptical about the high adoption rates we hear about.
Oh, why is that?
He thinks many businesses are just scratching the surface, you know, using AI for basic search, summarizing, not really embedding it deeply.
So the real potential is still untapped.
That's his view. He thinks the big gains will come from fusion with other tech, making AI almost invisible in the stack.
Yeah.
Got a ways to go.
Makes sense. There's hype, and then there's deep integration.
Right. Which brings us neatly to governance, legal, policy. This is where the conversation about responsibility really heats up. The guardrails.
Absolutely crucial. And the big one here, mentioned by both Dr. Nils Rauer and Murat Dermis, is the EU AI Act.
Because of its global reach. Right.
Exactly. Its extraterritorial effect means businesses pretty much everywhere need to pay attention. It's becoming the benchmark, the de facto global standard.
Huge implications for compliance worldwide.
Definitely. And underpinning all that, Michael Charles Borelli stressed the need for solid data governance and record keeping.
Audit-ready AI programs.
Yeah. You need that traceability. Proof the system does what you say it does and behaves ethically.
Can't just let it run wild.
No way. Which ties into copyright, too. Dr. Barry Scannell reported on that massive Anthropic settlement.
The $1.5 billion one for using pirated books?
That's the one. It basically put a concrete price on creative works used for training AI, signals a big shift towards structured licensing. Pay up front, basically.
Like cheaper than court, yeah.
Pretty much. And Jan Bern-Nordeman noted that AIPPI, the Intellectual Property Association, is looking at global rules for AI and copyright, harmonization, fair pay for creators.
Important work. And beyond legal, Matthew Kay introduced his AI standards prompt map.
Integrating AI with global standards like ISO.
Yeah, for HR, IT, finance, making sure AI outputs are compliant, repeatable, scalable, building operational excellence.
Smart. Ties it back to existing best practices.
And Giuseppe Stigliano had that wonderful analogy. Raise AI like you would raise a child.
Meaning
that early guidance, values, mindset, attitude is critical for its ethical development. Socially, politically, economically. How we shape it now matters immensely.
Profound point. It needs ethical foundations from the start.
Exactly. So, okay, let's get into those foundations. Data, infrastructure, MLO memes, the plumbing behind it all.
The unsung heroes, yeah. And Ellie Garefa's point comes back here. Good AI content. It's all about the training data, the references.
Retrieval data labeling. You need that infrastructure at scale.
You do. But Damian Millay added a really crucial nuance. Improving AI results isn't just about better models or cleaner data.
What else then?
It's often about refining the process, the human-AI interaction, the guardrails. He shared an example where a big mistake was caught because the process failed safe, not because the model was perfect.
That's powerful. Process over perfection.
Right. And architecturally, Dr. Sebastian Wernicke suggested we ditch the old AI onion model.
For something more practical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He proposed two modes. Machine learning mode, optimizing specific outcomes from structured data, and AI mode, developing broad capabilities for unstructured stuff. Helps make smarter investment and design choices.
More practical for building things out.
Definitely. And we saw advanced infrastructure in action with Prem Narina's demo.
Use the Grok LPUs, those super fast chips.
Yeah, with Humane and Katonic AI. Real-time workflow automation, turning conversations straight into Jira tickets. He said, intent is now programmable.
Wow. shows that seamless integration.
Exactly.
So it really underscores that robust infrastructure choices aren't just about speed. They're fundamental for performance, security, compliance, all of it.
And as Shalini Rao pointed out, you need that AI-ready data and governance baked in right from the start.
Okay, let's shift gears one last time to the human element. Workforce, skills, leadership. How is AI reshaping all of that?
Well, leadership is definitely changing. Frederick DeBrooke was clear. AI and leadership is non-negotiable now.
Non-negotiable.
Yeah. Leaders need that blend of empathy and smart data insights to stay relevant. It's about building trust, not just, you know, ticking AI boxes.
Right. And Gustavo Valbuena added that AI isn't just a side topic in leadership discussions anymore.
It's central.
Integral. Focusing on maximizing benefits for everyone, the organization, and the employees. Support, productivity, better experience.
That's a positive framing.
It is. And HR's role here is just massive. Alana Brickner, drawing on ServiceNow's playbook, talked about HR becoming AI enablers.
AI enablers meaning?
Reinvesting the time AI frees up, building a culture of transparency, tackling that huge skills agenda.
The skills gap is huge, right? What was the stat?
60% of workers needing reskilling by 2030. 60%.
That's urgent.
Extremely. And David Green curated resources on actually deploying AI in HR, reinventing performance management for this new reality.
Of course, this inevitably brings up job displacement concerns. Felicity Menzies raised a really interesting point about entry-level roles.
What was her concern?
That AI displacing those roles threatens the whole talent pipeline. You lose that foundational learning ground. It creates a delayed feedback problem efficiency now, but knowledge gaps later.
That's a really thoughtful point, the long-term impact.
Yeah. On the flip side, Pascal Burnett and Joanna Maciejewska argued AI should take the mundane tasks.
To free us up for more creative work.
Exactly. But they also warned about AI obesity. Getting lazy and letting the AI do everything.
Huh. AI obesity. Need to watch out for that.
We do. And Tim Evans talked about AI in education. Going beyond just summarizing text, using it with things like Bloom's taxonomy for deeper transformative learning.
Empowering educators and students, not just automating tasks.
Precisely.
And the whole human-AI relationship is still unfolding. Bernard Marr's chat with Emeka, the humanoid robot.
Yeah, raise those big questions. Is it authentic connection or just assistance? What are the ethics as they become part of daily life?
Deep questions. But Georgina Morris had a more grounded hot take.
Oh, yeah.
She argued AI won't replace us soon because it lacks true creativity. It relies on past data, human curiosity, specialized insight. That's still irreplaceable.
A good reminder of unique human value.
Definitely. Okay, let's wrap up the insights by looking at the market. Sentiment, investment, what's the vibe out there?
Well, James Gosling and Eric Besso both kind of sounded a cautionary note, drawing parallels to past tech bubbles like VR.
Saying the hype is ahead of reality.
Pretty much. They acknowledged AI tech is valuable, but the hype, way ahead of sensible outcomes. Lots of startups, they warned, are probably doomed to lose.
Sobering.
It is. And Dr. Jeffrey Funk echoed that, comparing the spending on AI talent, those huge salaries, to the dot-com era.
Questioning the actual commercial return.
Yeah, from gee-whiz technology that can't be trusted, as he put it. But Craig Scroggie offered a bit more balance. He observed that AI hype and AI reality can coexist. Quoting Altman and Gates, we overestimate the short term, underestimate the long term, his advice, long-term discipline in investing.
Makes sense. Don't get swept away, but don't ignore the potential either.
Exactly. And in this whole environment, Cassie Kozierkoff asked that killer leadership question about accountability.
When you build on foundation models you didn't create.
Right. Who's accountable for the outputs? Her answer.
Yeah.
The leaders deploying the AI. You can't outsource all accountability.
That's a crucial takeaway. The buck stops with the deployer.
If you enjoyed this deep dive, new deep dives drop every 2 weeks. Also check out our other editions on ICT and tech, digital products and services, cloud and sustainability, and green ICT. So as we've kind of journeyed through this incredible AI momentum, I mean, from self-correcting agents, managing workflows, all the way to potentially an AI-made cancer vaccine, it feels like one question really stands out for everyone shaping this future. Are we, you know, actively designing the guardrails, the ethical foundations for these incredibly powerful systems, or are we just sort of reacting to how fast they're evolving and just, well, trusting they'll grow up right all on their own. Something to think about. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the latest AI insights. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss our next deep dive and continue shaping the future with us.